Good morning. Our passages today will be from Colossians, again, chapter 1, verses 9 to 12, and we'll conclude Paul's prayer. We've been examining that now for the last 2 weeks, so today we will finish up going through Paul's prison prayer. And let me open us up in prayer. Father, so grateful yet again to be gathered together in your holy and glorious name. We thank you, Father, for the bride of Christ, O Lord. We thank you for this church, O Lord. We thank you for Christ, who is head of this church. We pray that we'll just be edified, Father God, in a way that honors you and that blesses you and pleases you, O Lord. Fill us, O Lord, mightily with your spirit. Empower us, Father God, to just bring you the honor, the glory, the praise, the worship, all that you deserve, O Lord, because you are good. We want to praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Amen. So again, we've been examining Paul's prayer now for 2 weeks. This will be the third week. And we've been using Paul's prayer as an illustration of spiritual growth and what that means. So if you recall, in the first part of the prayer request, we observed that spiritual growth requires supernatural knowledge of God's will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That was the request. And then we moved on to the second part, and the second part was the reason for this. And we observed that spiritual growth means walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, which is pleasing to God. And now we've come to the third component of Paul's prayer. And it's the results of his prayer. Now, in this final piece of Paul's prison prayer, we will see how Paul describes this worthy walk, the worthy walk that pleases the Lord. And he's going to use four elements to describe what every Christian should be doing as he walks, as he lives his life for Christ, pleasing God in every way possible. Now, this is what we should understand as we look at this prayer. Very important, at least it's important to me. This is the way I see it. Because when Paul begins his prayer, Paul does one thing. He takes us up to the will and the wisdom of the Father. So he takes us up in his prayer. But then that is the first part of his prayer when Paul ascends us and he says, you need the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So will and wisdom. But then Paul does a second thing. Now he brings us down and he instructs us about our walk. So from will and wisdom, he brings us down to walk. And he says, this is how you should walk, in a worthy manner, which is pleasing to the Lord. So we go from will and wisdom to walk. But now in this third piece, he moves us out to work. So from will and wisdom to our walk, and now to our work. And this work describes those things that we should be doing as Christians. So the sequence to me, at least to me, is very important. First, will and wisdom. Second, walk. And third, the work. Now the walk and the work. That describes two expressions that summarizes the practicality of the Christian life. This is it right here. This is where we're at. Very important, remember? Because Paul has been teaching the Colossians and everyone else about the doctrine and the duty. But here Paul is writing to the Colossians because the Colossians have a threat. He's got all these false teachers that are trying to invade the church. And these false teachers have their own doctrine. But here's a problem with their doctrine. They teach a certain doctrine. They teach a certain belief. But those doctrines and those beliefs have no walk. No walk whatsoever. They just teach the doctrines and they throw them out there to the Colossians and to everyone else who wants to hear. But those same false teachers aren't walking the walk. So Paul is very important. The will. You need to know the will and the wisdom of God. But then when you know that, you have to have a walk. A walk that is consistent with the knowledge of God. See, false teachers don't teach you that, but they'll give you plenty of doctrine, plenty of teaching, All those things they will certainly give to you. But this we know. If we're going to walk, or if we're going to work with God, if we're going to work with God and for God, we need this. We need to first know God. We need to know His will. Because we can't walk with God if we have no knowledge of God Himself. So if we're going to work and if we're going to walk, we have to know. So all these three pieces are very important for us to understand. All of them go together. We need to know, we need to walk, and then we need to work. So those three components, very, very important. Now, as we get to the final piece of Paul's instruction, as he begins to close his prayer, he mentions four participles, four modifiers. These four things, Paul says, these describe your walk. These works, they describe your walk, and these four works, he said, are what pleases God. So when God looks at us as sons and daughters, well, he should expect that these are the things that we are busy doing, because this is our work. This is our work to do. And the first one, Paul says, is bearing fruit. We bear fruit. The second one is increasing in knowledge. And the third one, Paul says, is we're being strengthened. And finally, the fourth one is we're giving thanks. So we're bearing fruit, we're increasing in knowledge, we're being strengthened, and then we're giving thanks. Four descriptors. Now, mind you, these aren't the only ways that we work, but these are the ones that Paul illustrates, at least to the Colossian believers. So they apply to the Colossian believers, and they apply to us as well, even today. So very important for us to know all these things. So the first one we'll look at is bearing fruit. Now, when we go to verse 10, and it says, in every way, it says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. That is a modifier, a descriptor. What is walking worthy of the Lord look like? What is it that honors God, that pleases God? Well, this is the first descriptor. You're bearing fruit. We are fruit bearers. Now, when we read this here in the Bible, it says, bearing fruit in every good work. Again, it's a participle, bearing fruit. In other words, this isn't passivity. This is an activity. In other words, the way Paul puts it, this is an action. This is pure action right here. This is something that we should be in the business of doing, not once in a while, but all the time. Constantly in the business of bearing fruit. So that right there is an action. That right there is a descriptor of what every Christian man, every Christian woman should be in the business of doing. Again, we are in the produce business, in the business of constantly and always producing fruit all the time. Now, why? Well, if you want to know, we can always go back to John 15, because when you go to John 15, in the first part, we're all pretty much familiar with the parable or with a metaphor that Jesus used about God being the vine, the Father being the vine dresser, and Him, Christ, being the vine, and us being the branches. But very important to know that when Jesus illustrates the Father as the vine dresser, the Father is the vine dresser. The way the Father is illustrated, the Father is always in the business of preparing His branches to bear fruit. Always. In other words, He doesn't describe the Father who is busy sometimes. You know, the Father, He's a vine dresser. Sometimes He's busy preparing the branches, but not always, only once in a while. No, no, no. When you read that story and you listen to the words of Christ, He's illustrating the Father as a spiritual vine keeper who is always, always in the business, constantly in work of doing what? Of taking us. Because it's the Father Himself as the vine dresser who took us from people who bore no fruit to a people who bore fruit, to a people who bore more fruit, and now to a people who are bearing much fruit. That is the work of the Father that He does. He takes us from, we were a people in the past, before we came to Christ, and we produced no fruit. But now, that we have been born again, regenerated. The Father has a vested interest in every single son and daughter to take him or her from a place where you were bearing no fruit. But now, because of him, the vine dresser, you bear fruit. You bear fruit, but he doesn't want you just bearing fruit. He wants you bearing more fruit. And then when you bear more fruit, he wants you bearing much more fruit. That is the process right there. So when Paul says that we should be bearing fruit, he means we should constantly be in the business of bearing fruit. Why? Because the Father, the vine dresser, he is constantly in the business of dressing us and making sure that we are united, abiding in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be also in the business of bearing fruit. So this is a relationship, fellowship between the Father, the Son, and us as his believers. Always busy. All three of us, all three, the Father, the Son, us, through the Holy Spirit, doing nothing but bearing fruit. Is it important? Yes, it's important. That is what the Father wants. Why? Because Paul says, this is what describes you as a person who is walking a worthy walk. He or she is constantly in the business of bearing fruit. Because the Father is in the business of producing fruit through us, through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's what Paul says. This describes you as a people of God, a people who are pleasing God. If we're bearing fruit, we're pleasing the Father. Why? Because he's a vine dresser who's working in us through his Son to bear that fruit. This is what pleases the Father. And then you see something here where it says that you may please him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work. See right there, in every good work, that is a sphere. In every good work, those little words right there, that is the sphere in which the fruit is being born. Right there, in every good work, there is fruit being produced. It takes place nowhere else except in those good works. There is where it takes place, in every good work. And good work is this, it's any act of goodness of any kind. And works, righteous works. Righteous works are a foundation of a right relationship with Christ. If we are in the business of good works, that means we are in good fellowship with who? With the vine. And the vine dresser is doing a good work through us. He who began a good work will complete it. So the vine dresser is busy in us through the vine. Very important that we always abide in Christ. In every good work, Paul, did you know, Paul, through his letters, he's always commending us to every work. He always says in his letters, I commend you, Timothy, Colossians, Philippians. He's always commending his saints to do what? He's commending them to every good work. Did you know that the Father commends you to every good work? The Father gives you the grace to do every good work. The scriptures enable you, empower you to do every good work. It's in the Bible, always commending, instructing, and pushing us to do every good work. Can you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3? We'll read verses 16 and 17, please. And here the scriptures, again, the scriptures commending us to every good work. It says, there are 2 Timothy, there you go. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The scriptures, alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, the word, always commending you as what? As saints, to every good work. And it goes on and on. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, please? And here again is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, the Father himself. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created for what? For good works, that we should walk in them. And it goes back, and is this consistent with what Jesus said in John? Absolutely. That we are in the business of producing fruit. And God the Father is a vine dresser, and he is there always working through us to produce the good fruit. Good fruit. So again, when you see those little words, in every good work, understand that the Father commends us as his children for every good work. He gives us a grace for every good work. The scriptures commend you for every good work. This is what we do. Here in the church, as a body of Christ, we should also equip ourselves to do what? For every good work, for service, for ministry. That is what we do. That is right there, a descriptor of the Christian work. Again, from the will and wisdom to walk to the work. And this right here is just, Paul says, just one of the works that we do. We are in the business of constantly bearing good fruit. Constantly. So when you look at New Life Church here, are we all involved in some kind of ministry? Because we all should. Because God gave to all of us gifts and talents to do what? To be in the business. Because he commends us for every good work. He doesn't give the pew and the pulpit two different standards. Work if you want to. No. To all, Paul says, gifts and talents to all for every good work, so that we could all be busy doing that good work and bearing fruit. Every single one of us. It's not for a few, but for all. So it's not that we can just sit, watch, and look at others doing the work. No, it's for all of us to be in the business of bearing fruit, good fruit. And we are commended. We are commended to do this in every good work. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, please? It was he who gave us some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Again, that is the point, so that we could all be bearing fruit. Because if the body of Christ is not built up, the body of Christ won't be in the business of producing any kind of fruit. But it's part of the church too, to build up the saints, to build them up and to equip them so that they too can be bearing good fruit. All of us should be invested in some form of ministry, in church, outside the church, or wherever. But we should be invested in some kind of ministry. Very important. So there we get the first piece, bearing fruit. We are fruit bearers and we're called to be fruit bearers. But now Paul moves us to the second piece. Can you go back, please, to Colossians chapter 1? Verse 10, please. And this is the second point. So the first part was bearing fruit in every good work. That's the first descriptor of the Christian walk. But then he moves us to the second part where it says growing in the knowledge of God. Increasing. Again, the other one meant that you're always constantly bearing fruit. Present tense again, the same thing. We're constantly bearing fruit. Again, we go to this part, and it's the same aorist tense. We are always increasing in the knowledge of God. Always. Always in this business. God's design for the Christian life involves experience. It involves experiencing him. It involves growth. It involves mobility, doing, being busy. It involves all those things. So we're just not bearing fruit, but we're also experiencing personal, spiritual development. We're all growing. We're all supposed to be growing. Every single time we should be growing. So if we stand still and we sit still and we do nothing, we become stagnant. We remain what? We remain baby-like. Babies who never grow because they're never trying to grow. They're neither producing any kind of fruit, nor are they even developing themselves. They stay babies, and they're okay with that. But no, that's not okay, because Paul's telling us right here in this particular prayer, no one is meant to be born and to remain a spiritual little baby. No, there needs to be a growth process. You need to be increasing, growing, maturing in the knowledge of God. We all need to do that. So when we look at the word increasing, it means that Christian life is progressing. Your Christian life is advancing. Your Christian life is moving. It's always on the go. It's always being launched out. It's growing year after year after year. Now, we never arrive at a complete knowledge of God. We will never know God, because God is God. But we're always straining and striving to learn as much about the Father as we can. Even a newborn babe, when he's physically born or she's physically born, wants to do something. As the baby grows, the baby delights in that the baby is getting to know his mommy and his daddy. And the baby, it's nurtured by that, because he or she is growing, developing, and the more he or she grows, it's just being more enamored with his mommy and with his daddy, because he or she is coming into a knowledge of mom and dad. It's the same thing with the Christian. We are born little babes, but we should be advancing, wanting to know the Father more and more and more, year after year after year, always advancing, always increasing, always growing in the knowledge of the Father. This is the will of the Father, that we should know Him. This is eternal life, Jesus said. Jesus said, this is eternal life. John chapter 17, verse 3. Can you go there, please? Here's Jesus in his high priestly prayer. He says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that you may know the Father experientially, that you may know Him intimately, who the Father is, the nature of the Father, the promises of the Father, the truths of the Father, His character, everything we can know of the Father, that we can come to a higher, greater knowledge of the Father. We should be increasing year after year in the knowledge of God. Year after year after year. We should never remain where we're at. And if we're certain, and if we're in a certain state, in a certain phase, and we're there for years, if we've been there for many, many years, it's not the Lord's fault, it's our fault, because we're where we're at because that's where we have chosen to remain. But that is not where God, that is not part of God's will. We know God's will. This is part of God's will, that we would increase in knowledge of Him, that we might increase, that we will never stay small. Can you go to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2? And here's Peter, like newborn babes, we should be like newborn babes, craving pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So that we would grow up. That we might grow up. Never stay a babe. Yes, we were born spiritual babes, but we're not meant to stay spiritual babes. Desire God. Just like babies desire milk, desire God every single day. More and more and more. Just crave Him. Want to know Him. Because you want to increase in the knowledge of God. Can you go back, please, to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10? Growing. So here's the thing. We grow, increasing in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Notice, we should notice that too. Note where the sphere of growth is. Where do you grow? It says that you will grow, that you will increase. But the only place where you will increase, the sphere, the arena, the room where you're going to grow, is right there in the knowledge of God. If you want to grow, you're only going to grow when you're in the knowledge of God. Because if you don't know God, you're never going to grow. But if you're in God, if you're in Christ, and you're in that knowledge, then you're going to grow. That is where all the growing takes place. Right there. Bearing fruit. Where was the sphere where you bore fruit? the sphere where you bore all the fruit was in the works, in the good works. That was a sphere where all the fruit was being born. The knowledge increasing. Where's all the increasing taking place here? It's increasing in the sphere of the knowledge of God. Two different things there. You want to grow? Well, you need to grow only in the knowledge of God. That's where growth takes place. The more you know the Lord, the more you will grow. The more you know about his person. Again, his truths, his promises, his doctrines, his word. The more you get to know Father, then you will begin to grow. Then you will begin to go. Remember the psalmist? It was a psalmist, David, when in Psalms 119, verse 97, he said this, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." David was growing. Why was he growing? Because he had a love for the word of God, for the knowledge of God. Because the only way we're going to go, the only way we're going to increase our knowledge is in the word of God. We can go nowhere else. David understood, "Oh, how I love your law." In the law, David understood, there right there, he will grow spiritually. You can grow nowhere else. Us, same thing. We're only going to grow in the word of God. And we're investing our mind in the word of God. Then we will grow. Because the only place where I can go to truly get to know the Father, to be intimate with the Father, to fellowship with the Father, is in his word. In his word. Remember the scripture? It says, "If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you." The only place where we can do that is in his word. And we come to his word, and we study his word, and we meditate in his word, and we draw near to the Father. The Father draws near to us. And we grow. But that can only take place if you have a love, if you have an appetite, a devotion, an adoration for the word of God. Because that's the only place that we're going to get this knowledge. And that's the only place we're going to grow. So, when you think about it, is your idea or your knowledge of God, do you see that growing in you year after year after year? Or is it the same thing every year? There's no change. What I knew last year about the Father is really the only thing I know with the Father this year. Nothing more has entered my mind, my heart about the Father. It's the same thing. But it hasn't been like that. It's not like that with my relationship with my wife, the wife with her husband, with husbands and wives. It's always different. Year after year after year, over all these years, husbands and wives have learned more and more about each other as they've gone on through life because they spent so much time with each other. It's the same thing in our relationship with the Father. If we spend so much time with him, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, we will develop a higher, greater knowledge of the Father if we love his word. But if we don't love his word, well, then we're not going to grow. You're going to be about as big in love for Christ as you want to be. The choice is yours. But again, this is a descriptor of what pleases God. What pleases God? Not that you stay a spiritual babe. What pleases God is that you were a babe, but now you have grown. You are developing, you're increasing. That is what pleases God. A saint who is maturing in the Lord, in the faith. So, okay, you go to, let's take a look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 12 and 14. Right there, we kind of get an idea because John kind of shows us something here. Again, 1 John chapter 1. Verses 12 through 14. Okay, I'm going to read it real fast, okay? 1 John chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Something to listen to as I read these passages, okay? Here's John. He says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, little children. Little children. Because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. But then he moves to verse 13. And in verse 13 he says, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because of you who have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. So you notice here in John, it goes from little ones, young men, to fathers, back to little ones, to young men, to father. But that's the way it works when we're spiritually growing in the Lord. Always moving up. We don't go from a father, a spiritual father, to being a spiritual young man or a spiritual babe. No, the way is always up. A little child, a young adult, to an adult. That is always the way. It's never the other way around. We begin as little children, but as little children, we move up and we become young men, young women in Christ. But as young men, young women in Christ, we're never meant to stay there. We move up, and we're constantly moving up. And that is the way. That is the way. Can you go to 12, please? Again, it says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. It said, okay, it's 1 John chapter 1, verses 12 and 14. Okay, I'm sorry. I am in chapter 2. It was chapter 2. Okay. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that your joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister. Okay, that's not it either. I'm looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. But that's fine. But that's the whole point when you look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 and 14. I write to you, dear children. But then he goes on to 13, he says, I write to you, fathers. And then I write to you, young men. But I just wanted to show you this principle, this pattern, that we are never meant to remain as spiritual babes. We are children, we are infants, we are children, we are young adults, but we mature to adults. That is the process. Physically, biologically, that is the way children grow. Same thing spiritually. We were never ever meant to remain spiritual babes. We were always meant to just follow the pattern and grow, always increasing spiritually in the knowledge of God. That has always been God's method, God's plan. And that right there is what pleases God. This is pleasing to God. So we're always increasing in the knowledge of God. It doesn't mean we're becoming smarter Christians. Oh, you know what? I am a smarter Christian now because I know a lot more about God. No. It's not about becoming a smarter Christian. It's becoming a Christian that resembles more his Savior. That's what it's all about. You're increasing in the knowledge of God, not because you want to be a smart sinner, but no, you're increasing in the knowledge of God because you want to resemble your Savior more and more and more. And that's why we're always increasing in the knowledge of God, always becoming more and more and more like our Redeemer, like our Savior. And that is a whole goal. That is a whole goal. To become more and more like him as we grow and mature and develop. As the vine dresser, the Father conforms us, every single one of his children, into the image of his Son. That is the plan. So again, the whole point, bear fruit and increase in knowledge. These are two illustrations of what God desires of us. Now, the other point, the third point is strengthen with all power according to his glorious might. Back to Colossians chapter 1. I believe we're in verse 11 now. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance, patience, and joyfully. Okay. Being strengthened with all power according to his might. Okay. These false Bible teachers, they use language of the cult. They use the same words that Paul is using. That's why Paul uses them, because he wants to instruct the Colossian believers. Because when you listen to cults talk, they use the same kind of language, strength and power and might. So Paul is also using this language, but he's referring it, of course, to the Father. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Three times, strength, strengthened, power, and might. It kind of tells us that we need that. We need God's strength, we need God's power, we need God's might. If we're going to live the Christian walk, the Christian life, and we're going to work at our salvations, what do we need? We need strength, we need power, we need might. Not ours. We are not sufficient to do this. If anything, we are too weak to do this. The Father knows. What do we need? We need his strength. We need his might. We need his power. He is who we need. If God gives a command, he provides the means. God never gives you a command and never gives you the enablement, the power to go out and do it. No, he gives you a command. He's going to give you all the means, all the power, all the might, all the strength you need to go out there and carry it out. He will do that. And here's the thing about the Father. His power never runs out. You know, I think it was last week, I went to refuel my truck, and I drove around the pumps all over the place. Why? Because two-thirds of the pumps were out of fuel. So I kept driving around until I finally found one pump that still had fuel in it, because all the other ones had been blocked out or had signage that says, no fuel, or out of fuel. But I found one finally that had some fuel. But here's the thing with God. With him, he never runs out of fuel. He is always in the business of giving us power. Always. Strength. Enablement. His might. Everything is there to resource us, to equip us, to enable us to go out there and do the good work. Always. That power is always available to us every single day. And if we're not leveraging that power, if we're not getting that power, it's not because he's run out of power, he has nothing left to give us, it's because we're not drawing any power from him. We're not. We're trying to do things on our own merit, by our own means, by our own strength, by our own power, by our own might, and we can't. We are not sufficient for that. We are not built for that. That's why Christ lives his life through us, because he is the all-sufficient one. Power, might, strength, all comes from Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is he, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens the inner man and the inner woman to do the good work. And we need this. We absolutely need the strength. If we're going to do the work of the Lord, we need to be empowered by the Lord. And we saw this when we studied Philippians, remember? When Paul says, when he told the Philippians about God who began a good work, and later, as he moved on in his letter, he said that God would give us the will and the work. God himself, he will give us the desire and the power to get it done. It's not us. It is the Lord working through us to do the good work. He does that. We do not. But we need might. We need power. We need his strength. And it says right there, he says, according to his glorious might. According to his glorious might. All of his might. Everything he has, it's there. Everything we need, it is according to his glorious might. He never shortchanges us. You know, I'm just going to give you a little bit of power, and you know, I'll give you 50%, and you meet me halfway, you get 50%. No. He gives you everything you need. You just need to draw upon it and take it and use his power. He gives it to you by grace. It's freely given. It is yours. But we need to use it. We need to leverage it. We need to rely on his sustenance, not ours. He is all sufficient, not us. Nothing sufficient in me to do the Lord's work. Nothing sufficient in you to do the Lord's work. There was nothing sufficient in Paul to do the Lord's work. Even Paul says, it is all by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. Every single thing. According to his glorious power, up to the level needed. Now let me move on as I'm running out of time here. So the Colossians. Paul understood this about the Colossian saints. Well, they were there and they were about to perhaps go head to head with some of these false teachers. They would need all the might possible to confront the danger. Same thing with us today in our world. There's a lot of people out there who do not crave anything but Christianity. They want nothing but Christianity. They don't want to hear the gospel, the teachings, the doctrines. They care nothing for the gospel. But we need to be empowered by God to go out there and still take the gospel, whether they want to hear it or not. We take the gospel to them in love. But we need God's all-sufficient might, power, and strength. We need it all. We need it all. Can you go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29? He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Yes, we are very, very weak. The only one who is going to increase any power in us is going to be the Father. Only He. He will increase the power. He will give us everything we need by His grace. But you have to be ready to take it. Take it. Apply it into your life. To do all this thing, what do we need? The knowledge of God. With all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's there at our disposal, but we need to take it. We need to take it. Now the fourth point, moving on, was this. Giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Verse 12. That is the fourth descriptor right there. We're always giving thanks for the Father. So Christians are characterized how? By their thankfulness. We're always giving thanks to the Father. Now, four times in this Colossian letter, Paul instructs the Colossians to give thanks. He does it. He begins first in Colossians 1:3 when he's giving thanks to the Father. He does it in chapter 2, verse 7. He does it in chapter 3, verse 15. And he does it again in chapter 4, verse 2. Always giving thanks to the Father. So gratitude. Gratitude before God is always and forever appropriate. We should always give thanks to the Father. It's always appropriate. Why? Well, there's one reason right there. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. That right there in verse 12, that right there is Old Testament language. Paul is taking from the Old Testament and now applying it to the New Testament, because that kind of language was used before for who? For the children of Israel who were about to enter the promised land, Canaan. And in Canaan, they were going to inherit. They were going to get their inheritance, not only as a collective people, but every son, every daughter, every Hebrew child, everyone was going to get his or her inheritance. And here Paul is saying, we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Not that he's going to qualify us later. No, Paul says, you are already qualified. When you were born again, the Father right there on the spot, instantaneously, he qualified you. You are already qualified. At home, in church, in our marriage, at work, wherever, I'm always qualified. Paul says, you are already qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Give thanks to the Father. Why? This has already happened. It's done. I will get an inheritance among all my brothers and sisters. We will all get an inheritance. But then among all my brothers and sisters, I will get a personal inheritance, as will you. Just like the Hebrew children when they went in there and they all got their own inheritance. We too, Paul says, you will get an inheritance. Give thanks to the Father. Give thanks. Four descriptors. We bear fruit. We're called to go work and to bear fruit that pleases God. We're told to go out there and increase in the knowledge of God. That is a descriptor of how we should work. Go out there, always increasing in the knowledge of God. And then we're told to go out there and be strengthened in might and power. Everything you need is right there, whether it's for ministry or whether it's for your marriage or in the church or wherever. God will always give you all the resource you need to get his work done, because it is God who is working in you. He will provide everything you need. There's nothing you can provide. He is the provider. He is Jehovah Jireh who provides, the God who provides. You provide him with nothing, but he provides us with everything because he is all sufficient. And the last one, give thanks to the Father because of everything he has done for us, qualified us. He has translated us from a domain of darkness to a kingdom of light. He has qualified us and he will give us an inheritance. That right there, those four things right there, Paul says, are pleasing to God. So is it important that we know these things? Yes. Very, very, a beautiful prayer, a powerful prayer, very potent, a prayer that we should pray over each other. And I've been doing that. I've been praying this prayer over me, over my wife, over my son, and over you. Everything when I pray, this is the prayer I've been praying. Why? Because I learned it, and it's a good prayer. Pray it. Pray it for the church. Pray it for one another, because it is a good prayer. And today, we all need this prayer. We definitely need it. How? So that we can grow. Because all these things are very, very important. Will and wisdom, the walk and the work. Very important today. And we need to be in the business of doing all this. Amen? So I pray that God would just encourage us to go out there and just thank him every single day. Let me just close in prayer.